crime prevention expert, retired Fairfield Police Lieutenant Jim Perez, with Crime on the Mind. Exclusively on Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Yes, and let's prevent crime specifically for back to school time, whether it's traffic patterns, more buses back on our roadways, even stranger danger for the walkers. We've got all the advice we can get from Jim Perez, our crime prevention expert in the state of Connecticut, and exclusively here on WICC. He joins us now. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I know you've got a little one going back to school. Well, not so little. She's definitely not, but it's exciting. You know, it's certainly a new year. And we want to talk about everything crime prevention that comes with the school year back up and running. Let's start with traffic patterns, especially the fact that we are now going to see more congestion on, especially our local roads with buses back on our roadways. What are some of the things that people should be thinking about this morning, this week, or just in the next couple of weeks, adjusting to the back to school way of ways?
Well, yeah, well, the traffic pattern generally changes two times a year. So it usually changes in September or late August right now, where school's starting again. And it changes again in June when summer kicks off or heads in. During the summer, there's usually like a little bit of a laid back, more driving. You still have people going to work, but it's not like, you know, a mad rush. This time is probably the most dangerous time for children, because now you're getting a quickly evolving whole new group of people that are joining the traffic patterns, especially now with buses, like you said, and with parents that are, you know, trying to drop their kids off school and then head to work. So some of the things that you have to be aware of is that children's minds don't develop until they're about 21, right? They don't fully develop. So they might not be able to comprehend distance, you know, and stopping power and being able to make a rash decisions. Kids, a lot of times they just make decisions and go. They don't think them through.
Yeah, true.
And this is where a lot of children are getting injured, you know, by cars and things like that.
I mean, especially, you know, you talk about the kids who may jaywalk because they don't know any better, or, you know, dart out in traffic, certainly. Or even, I would say, young drivers, right, Jim? I mean, we also have high schoolers who are driving to school maybe for the first time after getting their licenses over the summer. So, you know, taking bicycles, what have you. So, you know, certainly informing your children, you know, if they are the ones who are getting themselves to school, I mean, that definitely does kind of lead itself into stranger danger as well. You know, some of the things that you would advise if you've got kids in middle or high school walking to school on their own, if you're not supervising them, what do you suggest?
Well, I think that number one, the parents should lead by example. So the first couple days of school, they should be walking with them and then talking to them openly about, you know, the possibility of a stranger coming up and asking, do you need help? Do you need a ride? And I think what kids need to do is they need to understand that not everyone's your friend, and not everyone has been sent by your parents, as some of them might make it seem. So it's good to have, a kind of like a security system in place, which really comprises of like just understanding your surrounding, knowing that there are bad people that unfortunately can, you know, and will try to hurt you. And I think that sending a child to school, especially a young child, you know, 10, 9, you know, by themselves, I think is a foolish idea. You should be working on, just like people, adults work with carpool, you should be working with kid pools, you know, where you could literally get together with other parents and say, okay, if our kids are going to walk together, you know, let's go over some safety rules with them, and then let's just allow them to walk together.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's safety in numbers. There always has been. And so I think that walking by yourself can be an issue. The other thing I want to address real quickly is that, you know, some children ride their bicycles to school, and or I'm not sure if schools allow scooters now, but that's kind of like becoming an up and coming thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people need to realize that if you're operating these things on sidewalks, right, which you're technically not supposed to be, but people do it anyway. But you have to be aware of every single driveway you come across, and you need to stop before every single one of those driveways to make sure it's clear. Unlike the road, when you're riding alongside the road, you don't have to worry about that, because it's the car's responsibility to stop at the edge of the driveway and then look both ways before they can see it clear. But when you're coming on a driveway, they may not necessarily stop until they get to the very edge of the road. So that's something that I think parents and kids need to be very, very aware of.
That's such a good point. And again, we have Jim Perez here, who is our crime prevention expert. Another thing, Jim, that I will never forget, it was one of the first things I had learned from you years and years and years ago when we first connected in the news industry, earbuds. You know, students who walk to school or ride to school and they've got earbuds in and they can't really hear anything around them except for what is in their headphones. That could be a real danger.
That's a very big danger, not only for children, but even for adults. You have to be able to listen to what's called natural ambient sounds. And if you can't, you know, that means that you want to hear leaves ruffling in the fall. You want to hear footsteps any time of the year coming towards you. You want to be able to sense and be able to know that there's a possibility, not always, but a possibility of danger that can be afoot. And keep in mind that criminals, they love, they operate under the wolf pack mentality. I've talked about this in the past. Wolves travel together and they're very, very excellent at sniffing out fear. And as soon as they figure out, you know, that one of the, someone, member of the pack has fear in them, they kind of destroy them. So it's the same thing. Criminals like to work and they look for people who are vulnerable, who are fearful. So walk with confidence, keep one earbud out, be aware of your surroundings, look around like you own the place. And chances are that you'll not become a victim because it's too much work for these people.
Mm. Right, they could just move on to somebody else. And again, we have Jim Perez here.
And by the way, just real quickly, the Fairfield Police Department just came out with a program, and you know, I think this is wonderful. It's a program where they petition the state accepted it, and that's lowering the speed limit in certain areas, especially around schools, because typically it's 25 miles an hour. So now we have them down to 20 miles an hour, and we're going to be watching. We have a phenomenal traffic unit headed up by a wonderful a police officer, Lieutenant Mike Paris, who's excellent. And you know what? It's their efforts that are helping to save lives every single day. So that's pretty cool.
We have Jim Perez here, our crime prevention expert, and we're talking about back-to-school safety. And we were talking about the buses, the traffic patterns, and stranger danger. Something else that I actually thought about this weekend, Jim, I was stopping at a convenience store with my son, and I got this really weird feeling about somebody who had pulled up next to me. I felt like they kept staring at us. They never really got out of the car. And I, when I was in the convenience store, I kept a very close eye on this person because I was fearful that they were taking down information.
Wait, hold on. Hold on a second. You got to stop for a second.
Why?
So you're telling me that you were sitting down, you were in the car with your child, and this person looked strange. You got a weird feeling, which is, it's normal, right? It's intuition. It's something that's God-given that we have in the back of our head where the hairs stand up when you know something's wrong.
Yeah.
And you got out of the car?
No, I was already out of the car. So I was in the convenience store. No, I would have left.
Okay.
I would have just left. No, so I was there first.
Like okay.
Yeah, no, so I was there first. There was nobody there. So we were the first ones there. We pulled in, parked. We got out of the car. We went to the convenience store. And I mean, just from having you as a friend for as long as I've had you, I'm always, you know, I look for the exits. I look for the sketchy people in anywhere, even if there's not any. Mm-hmm. I look around, you know, all that. And I noticed that somebody had pulled up in their vehicle. And as I'm, you know, because I'm always just looking. And when I noticed, when they pulled up, they just were clearly just looking at our car. I mean, just sitting there, just like looking right at our car because there was nothing else in the parking lot. And so I was I just was aware of it. And so when that happened, I got on the phone and I just told my husband to just stay on the phone. And I said, I'm going to keep you in my pocket, but just stay on the phone. Okay, got it. He knows what that means. So we're walking out to the car. I have Chase. I put him in on my side because I didn't want to even expose the side that was next to this car. I said, just get in the car and buckle yourself. Like, do the best you can. I got in and I left. But the thing that I was worried about, you know, among other things, was I didn't know if something was left, like an Apple tag. I didn't know if something was put under my vehicle, you know, so I wasn't sure if you could even talk about, you know, being aware of, you were saying your surroundings certainly, and just kind of noticing the not normal. And what are some things, if you're feeling like you've detected not normal, nothing came of it, by the way, just so I could get to the punchline, nothing happened. But what can we do in those situations where you feel like you're either walking to school, or maybe you're on a bus, or maybe you see a car that is parked in your parking lot, you know, whatever the case may be. But we are in a very transitional time of the year, and whether you're into the school year or you're just getting into the routine of what the rest of society is doing, this is a really great time for people to have their guards down and to be very vulnerable and to become the victims of a crime. So what do you do if you detect the not normal?
The first thing is you need to be able to observe it and know that it is. So not normal is anything that tells you in your mind that something may be wrong, just like what happened with you in the parking lot. People who become victims are usually the ones who are oblivious to their surroundings and or are denying that there's danger. And even though, listen, the state of Connecticut and most of our towns, I'm almost kind of like, I'll say we live almost like in a bubble, because we are generally very safe.
Mm-hmm.
But
agreed.
With that comes complacency. And complacency, you still have groups out there that they understand how safe our community is, and they would love nothing more than to raid it. And they are going to do it, and it's going to happen. And it's happening now, you know, but not as prolific as other towns and state or other states, rather.
Sure.
But I'm going to tell you that being complacent is the number one killer, or the number one reason why most people become victims. And that's complacent, not thinking that something's going to happen to you, not thinking that that person's a danger, believing that everyone is good. Listen, we should believe that everyone's good, but you have to trust and verify, like Reagan said. Okay, you can't just like blindly go around and start trusting people. Oh, yeah, they're going to be fine, because you never know which wolves are among the sheep. And they're out there.
Right.
And so I think the most important thing is to learn about complacency and avoiding it. Not normal, understanding not normal and applying not normal is a large step in getting you in the right direction to being security minded or security conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everyone should be having this. Everyone should have this. If everyone had this, we would be such a big help for the police when something does happen, because when we call, the police are going to recognize that we're credible, that we've given good information before, and they're going to listen and act on it.
And I think we'd feel more empowered, Jim. I mean, and I always reiterate on this show that it's not enough for you, the adult listening to talk radio, which we really appreciate, by the way. It's not enough for you to have the information. You need to pass it on to your kids. It was funny. I was going to call you because you would have been so proud of him. So, as you know, my son is only six. But Chase had an instance where I thought, oh, there's Jim Perez, if I've ever seen him. We were at the playground, and there's a splash pad at the playground that we live near. And he was with a bunch of his friends. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment where he and his group of, you know, four friends kind of disappeared. Not disappeared, obviously, I was watching. But they went to an area where I couldn't see them. And, you know, all the moms are sitting around talking. I go right to him. And I come over, and my son immediately, he goes, oh, man, we did something. My mom detected something. I mean, my son just knows. Mm-hmm. He's like, here she comes. And so I come over and I'm like, what happened here that I'm going to get upset about? And Chase looks at where I was, doesn't say a word, walks to where he was and looks again. Mm-hmm. And he comes back and he goes, guys, my mom couldn't see us and somebody could have grabbed us. And so I said, please do not go past this line, guys. If you could just not go past here, we could see you from over here. I understand you want your space, but please don't go past here, because I can't tell if a car is going to pull up and grab you. I can't tell if somebody comes out of the woods to come get you. And you know, and my son kind of jokingly, because I always said, I go, blame me. If you ever feel embarrassed, just say, my mom's a crazy reporter. She's scared of everything. Like, just blame me. I don't care.
Yeah.
And he did. He's like, look, my mom's a reporter. She hears and tells the worst stories. So, like, just follow her rules. And I'm like, that's the best. Just do that.
But you have to
teach your kids this. You have to.
Yeah, your son's very lucky, because I'm going to tell you, and I've said this before, and I've said this to people before, in our business of policing, right, it's a very closed culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very tight-knit community. It's a very walled-off sort of community, because that's kind of the skin that we develop. But it's because over time, you're exposed to such trauma.
Correct.
And it's not yourself. It's just everybody else around you, you know. And so what happens is the police officer ends up getting a thick skin. And I think that the next profession close to police officers, and I've always said this, close to police officers who share kind of like the same spirit that we do with respect to, like, you know, sense of humor and you know, trying to, coping skills.
Coping with trauma, yeah.
Being exposed to trauma every day are reporters.
Right, because we see it. Right, we have to go to the scene. Yeah.
That's right. You go to the scene and you're exposed to the exact same trauma to a certain degree that we are, and sometimes to the full trauma. But it's so you guys are the ones, and I often said to police, you know, you have to work with the news because with reporters, because they're the only ones that really get us. Like, as far as, like, you know, when you're dealing with trauma and you're dealing with, you know, the nastiness of life and the negative aspects of it, and then having to deal with it every day and then go home.
Right.
And
besides, so, like, an emergency room worker. Absolutely. I think
first responders,
the emergency room.
First responders, hospital staff, especially emergency room hospital staff. All these people understand what we understand. And I wish that the whole world would understand what we understand. And if we did, if most parents were like you, then guess what? And I'm not blowing smoke. I don't, you know, but it's just.
Jimmy has told me when I've done some dumb things. He'll tell me. Trust me. Yeah, but it's true. You have to pass this information on to your kids. You have to. You don't have to scare them. Like, my kid doesn't have nightmares. But you know, you have to, again, if you look at it as crime prevention and empowerment versus let me just be scared every day of my life, that's keeping information from your kids. When you get upset that you can't see your children anymore, or you feel like, oh, man, I wish my kid would have known this. Again, I find that my son is not somebody who's fearful of the world around him, but he is very aware of when something seems off. And to me, people are like, wow, the emotional intelligence. And I think, no, I talk to my kid like he's a normal human. And when I'm afraid of something or something seems weird to me, I share it with him. Maybe not to the extreme of what an adult can understand, but you have to share that information with the next generation. You have to.
Can you imagine the pain and regret of a parent having information that could have helped your child?
No.
And let your child go forward, and something happens, and imagine the guilt and the regret that you have, knowing that you had the responsibility of telling them up front, but because of silliness, or you think it's just too much, or they're not going to be able to deal with it, or, oh my God. I call it the snowflake thing, but it's the truth. There are many, many snowflakes around this area. There really are, and they want to live in la-la land. And reality
I think even as adults, though, Jim, you said it perfectly a few minutes ago, the idea of it's not going to happen to me. I mean, adults, I would say just in general, have that mindset. And that's a killer. That alone is a killer. So if we are showing that we don't think it's going to happen to us, of course our children don't think it's going to happen to them.
Right, right. And not to mention that if something does happen to them and they eventually recover when they get older, they're not going to forget that.
Right.
They're going to realize that you let them down, that you had the opportunity to save them and you didn't. So I would say to every parent, be vigilant. Talk to your kids about, strangers, about crossing at the crosswalk, making sure that you wait until the hand signal comes out to allow you to cross. If you're walking on a sidewalk and you can't find a sidewalk, walk on the opposite side of the road. So in other words, you walk on the side where traffic's coming towards you.
Right, right. Just teaching them those little things. And I think always just being vulnerable yourself and just saying, hey, this is the reason I'm telling you this is because I love you. And this is what I would do because I want to feel safe and I want to feel good about going, you know, wherever it is. And I think having, you know, normalizing that and letting your children know that, hey, I'm fearful that I could get hurt or I could get approached. And I don't want that to happen to you. So we all live by the same rules. I have to do this. You have to do this. If I find somebody
I want to make one little thing to adults and to drivers in general. When you pull up to a scene, right, when you pull up to an intersection and let's say the light is malfunctioning or perhaps it is still functioning, but you have a live police officer over there waving you on, pay attention. When you see a police officer and you see the light, don't choose the light over the police officer. Listen to the police officer because the police officer has authority over that light and can actually guide you through.
Yeah, good point.
I see this happening more and more where people are pulling up to an intersection where there's like something going on And they're so focused on the light that they don't see the police officer that's waving them on, and they're causing traffic jams and all kinds of problems. So that's another thing that you're going to see a little bit more of now that school's in session more, is you're going to see police officers directing traffic. Understand the police officers have rights over the light. So if they're telling you to go on, you know, you don't
follow
have to hesitate.
Follow their lead. Yeah. Exactly. It's being aware of your surroundings, which is always, you know, go back to, you know, not being vulnerable to that and being aware and passing that along to the next generation as well. Jim Perez, such great information, especially ahead of back to school. Thank you so much. We so appreciate you being on the show each week for Crime on the Mind.